This is the Momentum Educate and Innovate podcast.
Welcome to the podcast for community. My name is Lola Gonzalez with Momentum, and we are interviewing today Val Robles, who has a lot of experience of being a radio podcaster, so she'll give us some insight and tips. Welcome, Val.
Thank you, Lola. Thanks for having me.
Could you just tell us about a little bit about yourself and your journey to podcasting?
Okay, my name is Val. I have a blog. It's called Magnum Ladies Blog. I may as well get the plug in. I'm on social media too much, probably. And I've had the blog for 14 years, and it's been basically me writing. And then a few years ago, well, it was probably about 6 years ago, I had this idea of writing a bucket list, and one of my dreams was to be a DJ. It's just something I really always wanted to do. And I wrote the blog post and I put it online, and I got an email from the Ballinagh Community Radio Station asking me to come over and would I like to have a go at recording a radio show. So off I went. I didn't need to be asked twice. It was just, it was one of my dreams. So off I went. It was meant to be a one-off show. I loved it so much. The bug kind of bit me, and actually the lady that ran the radio station said that it would. And I just carried on for about 2 or 3 years, just having a regular show on the community radio.
Wow, an amazing story. Did you have anyone inspire you at the beginning that you thought, oh, I'll get into radio podcasting, or after you were at it for a bit?
I suppose I've always listened to the radio. My uncle was big into radios. There was, like, he couldn't fall asleep without the radio playing. So he used to listen to the World Band radio, you know, and they used to have, like, the shipping forecasts and stuff like that. And I don't know whether it just made him sleepy or what. And then when I was about 14, I got a CB radio with the massive aerials. And it was a great way to connect with people. I remember the aerial was on a biscuit tin, actually. And he used to hang it out the bedroom window to see, could you connect with anyone in the area? And you ended up meeting with people, and it was great to do that. So that was probably the beginning. And then, as I say, it was just something I always wanted to do. And there are quite a lot of community radio stations out there that are crying out for volunteers to have a radio show. So if you've ever wanted to have one, drop them a message. They'll probably be only too happy to hear from you. The one I went to, Ballinagh Community Radio, she actually trained me. Adele trained me on the mixing desk. She trained me how to put the music in as I was talking, and the jingles and everything. And it was brilliant, because you got an insight into actually how a radio station works. And I'm telling you, live radio isn't for me. I was way too nervous. I think I did one live show, and then that was it, because I'm not very good. I'm not very quick. And you need coordination, actually. So you're trying to slide different things to bring the radio in and the voice down. Mm-hmm. So I only did probably one live show, and the rest were pre-recorded, because there were too many gaps. And they call that they call it like dead air. So you don't want any dead air. You need to keep it flowing all the time. And I couldn't do that. So it's handier for me to do a pre-record. And then if you do need to edit it, you can. You know, because you're bound to get bits where you trip yourself up.
I know that you recently did a project called The Hands of Sligo. Could you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, The Hands of Sligo, it was part of the Creative Ireland Fund, and it took place over the summer. So I'm a photographer, that's my background, and this was to meet people in older age and find out what they were doing. But I didn't just want mine to be a photography project. I wanted it to have some kind of story behind it. And I've actually done that with every project I do. It's always more than a photography project. So I decided to record the people that I met. So I actually met 50 people from all over Sligo. Like, I was on the road a lot, but I didn't want to turn anybody down, because everybody came to me, and actually they came to me through radio. I was interviewed on Midwest Radio in particular, and I said that I was looking for people just for me to take a photo of their hands and maybe do a voice record for my project, and my phone didn't stop ringing. So there's the power of radio right there, that the people that I needed were all listening to me. And they all phoned me, so I didn't actually have to go looking for anybody. Everybody volunteered willingly, and they knew what the project was about, and they were so happy to be included. So the exhibition is still running at the moment in Tubbercurry Community Library, so that's great. But anyway, I'm going off tangent, which is what I tend to do. So I turned it into a bit of a podcast as well for the people that wanted their voices to be heard, and not everybody did, and that's fine because everybody's different. But some of the stories that I heard were just amazing. There was the lady that she was 92. She was the youngest of 20 children, and she was an auntie when she was born. So, I mean, could you imagine being the youngest of 20 children? But she told me her wartime memories. So she told me about her mother putting grated carrots in the tea to make it go further, about making sheets from the flour sacks because they didn't have any sheets. And she told me about the rationing and sending a turkey to her brother because he didn't have anything to eat. It was for his Christmas dinner. Sending a turkey through the post.
So it was just a tough one.
Yes, it was a tough one. So it was just about connecting with these people. And the biggest thing was that they all felt so isolated. Maybe some of them had families that don't live near them. And certainly through COVID, people stopped talking to people. So to actually go and sit and speak to people and give them their moment. And they really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. You know, I just became inspired by these people. And there's one woman and she's learning how to play the tin whistle. She's never played the tin whistle in her life, but she's retired now, so she has time. And she wanted to do something for her and to meet people and to keep her active. So she also climbs mountains. I'm like, these people are amazing.
Yes, you know? Definitely.
I think I would have thought when I retire, I'd probably just sit and eat cakes. Probably similar to what I do now. But like, they're climbing mountains. They're doing everything. They're just amazing people. And it's the podcast really that gives them the chance to share their stories.
Right. Yeah, it's a way to connect and inspire each other.
Absolutely. So. And you really don't know what you have in common with people until you listen to them. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes you might be surprised at exactly how much you have in common with people.
Yeah, and eating cake is not so bad.
No. There should always be cake.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Have you heard of any programs in Ireland that help with any? Help someone who's interested in podcasting?
Yes, I have actually. The MSLETB, which is Mayo Sligo Leitrim Enterprise Training Board, they have, they did have a podcast, and that was podcast and social media training, so which was why I didn't go for it, because I work in social media, so I didn't really want to do anything else along that lines, but I would have loved the podcast bit. And I do think they're two completely standalone projects, if I'm honest. I don't think they should be connected. There was also one through SkillNet. I don't know how you get through training with them. I think you just apply. And they had a standalone podcast one. So I'd really recommend that. But you could just do what I did and go along with your phone. When I was doing the podcast, I just had a voice recorder on my phone and just press record, because I didn't want to be going into people's houses with a load of equipment. And I think sometimes people can be very much intimidated. I know the first time when I stepped into Ballinar Community Radio Station, I nearly had a panic, because there was mixing desks, there was a computer, you were getting a live feed come up of the news. If people were texting in, you'd see the text. It's an awful lot to deal with. And then you have to slide all the switches, which Ballinar Community Radio were great because they showed me how to do it. They trained me how to do it. And everyone's a volunteer. And actually, that community radio, that started because the man who started it always wanted to be a DJ. But there was no community radio station, so he started his own one. So they're more inspiration, yes. And I do think every village in Ireland, every village in the world should have a community radio station or a podcast. I know in Tubbercurry, actually, they started a podcast called South Sligo Talks, and they chat to people. And there's also one in Boyle. Mm. It's called The Voices of Boyle. So they give the airwaves to people. Someone will interview them and they'll just have a chat. And it could be about something that's happening in the area. It could be just about something that they want to say. You know, so it's a really good way of doing it. And I suspect with the podcast, you see, you don't have to worry about the licensing, the music, where you would with a community radio station. Mm-hmm. It's two totally different things, but the same outcome, really. You get to share your views and your voice.
Right, yeah. I would love to start a community podcast in Leitrim.
Yeah, it would be great. But there's so many people that you could speak to, and yes. there's so much happening. And I think as well, it could be for all ages, you yes. know, you could have younger people as well, mm-hmm. because they have a lot to say and maybe don't have the space to say it or the people That's to true. Listen. So a podcast would be fairly easy enough to do, mm-hmm. she says. But certainly the community radio, I know that's more difficult. There's licensing laws and it's a whole different ballgame, mm-hmm. you know. But it's still, there's a lot of different community radio stations out there that you could go to and ask their advice. And they're only too happy to help because it's not competition, it's yeah. collaboration.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad that you're bringing up the point that a community radio is different than a community podcast.
Completely different, yeah. yes. The podcast yeah. would just be the voices.
Right.
You don't have to worry about the music. I know with Ballinagh Community Radio Station, they're very strict on you had to write down every single track that you played. You have to write down the amount of time that it runs for. And you have to send that off to the people that give you the license because they need to know there's royalties involved, you see. Mm-hmm. They need to know what music you're playing. Mm-hmm. And so it's very different. With the podcast, it's just a voice. There's yes. no issue about copyright. You might have with a jingle, but there's some copyright-free music out there that you could make a jingle from. And actually, we did a jingle for my radio show, and it was just a bit of copyright-free music. And my future son-in-law actually just doing the voiceover of the name of my show. So we put a bit of an echo on it, and it sounded actually quite good. So you don't need to go too over the top. I think sometimes if you get fixated on the equipment that you need, you won't actually do it because you've talked yourself out of it. You're like, I don't have the budget. I don't have the equipment.
Right.
Whereas if you go, I have a phone, I have a voice recorder on it. There's a free program online called Audacity where you can put your recording into it and even out the levels, because sometimes if people are laughing, it goes higher or whatever. It just smooths it all out, makes it a bit more friendlier to the ears. You don't really need to. I mean, sometimes during COVID, actually, I couldn't go to the station in Ballinagh Community Radio because of COVID. Mm-hmm. We could only stay within our area, and I used to record it in my car. So I would drive somewhere quiet. I'd have my phone. I'd do the voice record, and then my son, who was brilliant, actually, he's brilliant at the sound, would slot the music in. So I would introduce the music, and he'd put it in afterwards mm-hmm. and make sure that the show was an hour. And that's how it went. So it just shows you don't have to really get fixated.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing up that point, because some people might be, you know, oh, I can't do it if I don't have the best equipment.
Yeah, you don't know. Don't budget, stress it too much. And actually, if you go onto my website and if you listen to if you go into the hands of Sligo, you'll hear the voice recordings, and that's all they are through the phone. Mm-hmm. There's no microphones. I didn't hook the people up to a microphone. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to invade their space, first of all, and I didn't want them to feel, you know, what's this woman doing? Like, some of these were older, vulnerable people. I didn't want to be going in and just taking over the place and making them feel just that they, you know, whereas all it was just us having a chat.
Yeah.
And they forgot the phone was there. You know, and half the time I did as well. So, you know, but it just makes it flow a bit easier that they're not watching what they're saying. I think the minute you shove a microphone in front of someone, they're going to go, oh, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, they are.
Like a rabbit caught in the headlights almost.
That's true.
You know.
Are there certain traits do you feel that someone needs to have as a host or...
Listening, actually, which is what I'm not very good at. But I made myself do it through the hands of Sligo. I didn't want my voice to really be in those interviews at all. I wanted it to be the story of the person, not me, because I talk enough anyway and people don't need to hear me talking anymore. So I tried not to speak, and I actually said to the people beforehand, you know, I probably won't speak. Sometimes I did, or if I felt they needed a bit of prompting, I would maybe just give them a little prompt or ask them a question. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. I just think to do that, to actually listen and to engage if you need to engage with them, you know, but to make sure that they feel heard. So that's probably the biggest one, just listen.
It's good to know that. Any challenge that you had personally doing being a radio host, anything that you can share that you feel like
you overcome? Actually with the podcast, the thing I didn't realize was how much emotionally it would affect me, that some of the stories were quite hard hitting. The lady that was the carer for her husband who had Alzheimer's, and she told me how difficult it was for her, the challenges. That kind of really, you know, struck me. And then there were a few people that I went to see. They were actually in a nursing home. Now, I didn't record them because they were too vulnerable, and I would never do that to anybody. I think you need to gauge the people that you're going to see. And if you don't feel it's right, don't do it. Mm. You know, we all need a bit of empathy. And it's about reading the room. And just, you know, you have to think, if these people were my family, would I want them recorded? I also used to say to my people, if you say something and you don't want me to use it, just tell me. Because there's an edit button on Audacity. You can just take it out. Yeah. Because it's very easy for someone to say something and then go, oh, I didn't want to say that. You know, they might mention a name. They might say something that they just don't want everybody to listen to. Mm-hmm. So that gives them a bit of safety as well, that they know that I'm not going to exploit them. It's about being empathetic and kind. And it's the same as when I take photos, I look at them and go, if this was a photo of me, would I want this put up? Mm. And if the answer in my head is no, I won't put it up. And it's the same with the voice recordings.
Right.
You know, and I do think, you just think, what would you do? What would you think? Or how would you like to be treated?
Yeah, exactly. You have to put yourself in that position.
Totally, yeah. Yeah,
because you're very vulnerable sharing your own story.
100%, yes. And it is. And some of these people that you're dealing with might never have been interviewed or spoken to about anything. I also think, I know when some people do interviews, they have a really rigid line of questions. And I think sometimes it's better just to go with the flow. Mm-hmm. That you're going to get more out of people when you just let them speak from their point of view. Then you're not kind of cutting off the topic or going on to something else. So just sometimes organically is nice. Unless you're like me and you can't stop talking. Do you know?
That's a great tip though. That was my next question. What kind of tips can you give someone?
Yeah, definitely that. I mean, I do know, certainly if you've got a celebrity, there might be certain questions that you want to ask them. Mm-hmm. But I do, and I have interviewed people for a magazine, and I've always done it the same way. I never would have any questions written because I want to find out about them. And if I've got rigid questions, I've already got in my head what I think about them, and that might not be right. Mm-hmm. So if I actually sit and chat to them, I get more out of them. They relax more and they'll tell me more.
Yeah.
And I always find that's the best way to go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a much more interesting interview, and you don't get the same that everybody else has got.
That's true. I agree with that. So is there anything coming as far as more podcasts?
No, not for a while. Although, I mean, if ever I do hear an interesting thing, and I had it actually at my exhibition opened a couple of weeks ago, and I did have it where there were two gentlemen and they just saw a thing on the wall about Storm Debbie in 1961, and they both started talking about their memories of it, and I went, hold on, and I started recording them, because actually the following week there was a Storm Debbie, but they remembered the 1961 storm and they were talking to each other about it. So I have that recorded and it's gone up as a podcast.
Oh, I love
so
that.
I would like to do more of that. I think there's so many interesting people, so don't be surprised if you ever meet me sometime and I shove a phone in your face and go start talking, because that might happen.
I love it. Anyways, we'll have you here for a Leitrim podcast.
Ah, yeah. You never know. Watch this space.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey and giving us tips on podcasting. It'll be very helpful to our audience for community.
Thanks very much, Lola, for having me.
Thank you, Lyle.
This is the Momentum Educate and Innovate podcast.